How are we doing this morning? Muted response. You know, I feel like there's always this haze that covers campus after we lose. And for those of you who are new, you'll get the unexpected brutal losses will get easier, okay? I promise they will. You'll get used to them. They'll still be brutal, but they'll be less unexpected. So, well, I'm excited for us to be together this morning. My name's Christian. If I haven't met you yet, I'm on staff here with NLCF. And I'm excited to continue the series that we have been in for the last couple of weeks now, Unleashed, the Power of God in the Book of Acts. And what we're doing over the course of these 10 weeks is we're spending this time looking at the back half of Acts. And we started this series last fall, and we're kind of picking it up now. And as we look at the back half of Acts, we're focusing on the Holy Spirit, the main character in Acts, the one who is driving everything that happens. And so our hope with this is that we would kind of understand the Spirit better. We would be able to walk better with the Spirit, because we talked about a couple weeks ago, we don't really know what to make of the Holy Spirit. We know that the Spirit, when we ask God to adopt us into His family, the Spirit is the one who comes and dwells in us. Jesus says He makes His home with us. He fuses Himself to our souls. This is the same Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead, but we're just not sure what to do with Him. And so our hope is that as we see Him in action, driving everything that happens in Acts, we'll be able to walk more closely with Him. And so a couple weeks ago, we talked about the Holy Spirit delivering us and kind of have dived into that for the last 2 weeks. And then this week, we're going to be looking at another thing we see the Spirit doing in the second half of Acts. So let me pray for us. Holy Spirit, we thank You that You are here. We thank You that You are in us. We pray that You would speak. We pray You would move in power in this time. We pray that we would have ears to hear and that we would respond. In Jesus' name, amen. So, I know we promised that this is going to be a series about the back half of Acts, but I actually want to start this morning in Acts chapter 1. And the reason for that is that what happens in Acts chapter 1 really sets the stage for what we're going to talk about today. This is kind of a pretty important verse. You guys will probably be familiar with it, but this is Jesus, His last interaction with the disciples right before He ascends into heaven. So let's look at Acts 1:8. It says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be My witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." And so Jesus is kind of like, this is the last thing He says to them. And this verse, what He's talking about here, this promise, is really the very heart of the book of Acts. What we see after this is this being played out over and over and over again. The Holy Spirit coming, the Holy Spirit fusing Himself to the believers' souls, and then Him using us as witnesses. So that's what we're going to talk about today, the Holy Spirit using us as witnesses. We're going to see a story of this in the back half of Acts, but the Holy Spirit commissions us as witnesses. The Holy Spirit commissions us as witnesses. Now, let's unpack that a little bit, because I think there's a couple questions that kind of come up with what do we mean by the Holy Spirit commissioning us as witnesses? And the first question is, well, what are we witnesses to? What are we witnesses of? And to answer this, we have to go all the way back to the story of creation, right? And so in the creation accounts in Genesis 1 and 2, we get this picture of the creation being good and whole, in harmony, as God intended, right? There's a Hebrew word that is used to kind of capture all of that, and that's shalom. Usually when we translate that to English, we translate it as peace, and that's certainly a part of it, but shalom is bigger than just peace. It's wholeness, it's goodness, it's harmony, it's life. And so in the Garden of Eden, what we see is that shalom, God's shalom, oozes from every pore of creation. Things are as they were intended to be. But then sin enters into the world, and that shalom is broken. The goodness and wholeness and harmony is kind of put off a little bit. It's kind of shattered. And so the story of the Scriptures from that point on, if we trace it across the whole Bible, what the story is the story of God restoring that shalom back into every single part of creation. That's what God is doing in our world. Certainly a part of that is our own connection with God, right? Bringing us back into relationship with Him. But that's what He's doing. And that is what we are witnesses to. We're witnesses to God restoring shalom to all of creation, to Him bringing His reign more fully here. And we get a taste of this. This is what it's talking about with the Spirit's going to come and you're going to be my witnesses. We're getting a taste of this now because in the church, Christ is King, right? Now, we get that it's not perfect. We don't ever do it perfectly, but we get a taste of some of this shalom. And now we get to witness to that. We get to kind of see that, right? So that's the second question. What does it look like? What do we mean by be my witnesses? What is Jesus talking about? When I was thinking about this, the first thing that came to my mind was this picture. There we go, right? We are all witnesses. This was a billboard in Cleveland for many years while LeBron James was playing for the Cavaliers, and it speaks to this awesomeness that comes from getting to watch LeBron play. We're getting to see things that we've never seen before just because this guy is physically just better than everyone else, right? And so we're witnesses. Pay attention because something big is happening here. Now, I'm not the biggest LeBron guy, to be honest with y'all. Kyrie all the way. Celtics are going all the way this year. So, but I guess Nike's ad worked because as soon as I hear witness, this is what comes to my mind. So maybe that's something that comes to mind. Maybe another picture that might come to your mind when you think about witnesses. A witness in a courtroom, right? Someone who tells what they've seen, what they've heard, what they know to the court, right? And really, this is the picture that we tend to use in Christian circles when we say the word witness. If someone were to come up to you at church or something and say, like, hey, you need to witness, they're talking about this. They're talking about go share the gospel with people who don't know the Lord, right? Tell what you know to be true. And certainly there's an element of telling in this. There's no question. But what Jesus is talking about here in Acts 1, when He says, you will be my witnesses, the Spirit is going to use you as my witnesses, is something much, much bigger. What Jesus is talking about here is that a witness is an instrument through whom God's reign is made visible. A witness is an instrument through whom God's reign is made visible. And so being a witness, being witnesses together, means that our entire lives speak to God's reign, speak to the work that He's doing in restoring shalom to all of creation, right? This is what we're talking about. Through us, God's kingdom here on earth that is coming more and more all the time is made visible to those who cannot see. And I was trying to think of a way, like a picture I could kind of like replace these pictures with. And we're talking about witnesses. And Meg actually showed me a picture this week from National Geographic. You can't hardly see it that well, but it's this fisherman. He's kind of hanging out on his boat. And right below his boat, there's this massive whale shark, right? He has no idea that it's down there. And so that actually like made me think of a story from a few years ago that I think will give us a pretty good picture of what we're talking about, what Jesus is talking about here with being a witness. So a few years ago, my family, we went on vacation, and they all got certified as scuba divers, learned how to scuba dive. Unfortunately, I didn't get to go on that trip, so I don't know how to scuba dive. But, which is really a bummer because that's all they want to do when we go on vacation now. And so a few years after this, we were in Clearwater, Florida, and they decided they wanted to go on a dive. And I thought, well, I guess that means I'm just going to sit on the boat and watch them dive. I don't know. But they said there's actually this thing called a resort dive. And that's where someone who doesn't have any idea how to scuba dive goes down with a scuba instructor. And they kind of guide them and make sure everything's okay. So so that's what we did. We got on the boat. We headed out into the ocean. We went to this reef that was a good ways out from the coast. And when we got there, my family, they all jumped right in. They kind of get in. They got their equipment on. And they just jump right in and start the dive. And I'm kind of like looking over the rail. And I'm like, this doesn't honestly look that great. Like, it's kind of like a big dark blob. You know, like, it's not going to be that cool. But But the instructor, she kind of sits me down and she says, hey, here's some things you need to know about doing a dive here, and here's some things that we're going to see down there. There's going to be this reef, and here may be some different fish that we might see, and I'll try and point things out to you as best I can. And I'm like, okay, fine, this will be great. And so we get in the water, and she sort of adjusts my suit so that we start sinking. And really, as we're sinking, it's probably about 40 feet deep, and I'm just kind of like zoned in on her. I'm not really looking around because like one of the things you have to do as you're getting deeper and deeper is you have to equalize. It's where you hold your nose and then blow out. So the water pressure kind of, you get used to that in your body. And so she's showing me when to do that. I'm just like locked in on her, not really looking around. We get down to the bottom and she points at her knees. She like goes like this and we land on our knees. And I'll be honest with you guys, I was having like kind of a mini freak out. Like, because it's just really weird to be 40 feet underwater, breathing through this regulator, all this equipment on, like, it's just really jarring. And so I'm like, like, kind of freaking out. She's like, hey, we're cool. You know, well, she didn't say that, because she's underwater, obviously, but that's what she meant. So she's kind of, and eventually I kind of settled in, and she gives me a thumbs up, and we take off. And so we're just swimming around this reef, and I quickly learned that what looked like a very dark, just bland blob from the top of the water was one of the most incredible things I've ever seen. I mean, just incredible colors, so many fish, so much life there. And so she's taking me around the reef, and we're swimming through these different arches and things, and she sees a starfish on the reef, and she points it out to me, and we swim over to it, and she picks it up, and she hands it to me, and she motions for me to feel it. Which I thought was like, well, I mean, okay, I'll feel the starfish. But so it was kind of cool. And then we're kind of continuing to swim around, and we land on this bare patch of sand, and she motions for me to stop, and she takes her hand and she just rubs along the edge of the sand, and this ray comes up out of the water, massive ray, and I had no idea that it was there. It was just, I mean, really, really cool. One of the coolest experiences in my life. And so we got back up on the boat, and she immediately wants to debrief. Like, she thought it was just as cool as I did. She's like, did you see that fish? I'm like, yeah, I did. She's like, have you ever held a starfish before? I was like, no, I haven't. I didn't know what to do with it, but it's cool. It's awesome. And so I think that what that scuba instructor did with me gives us a really good picture of what it looks like for us to be witnesses. The reality is that the Holy Spirit is constantly at work in and around us. We don't always see it, but He's constantly at work, and that's something that we have to hold on to really tightly, that we have to believe at the core of our beings. He's in the process of restoring God's shalom to all of creation. But the problem is, for most people, that work takes place just below the surface. Those glimpses of shalom, they lie just beyond what they can see. With us having the Spirit in us, we get to see some of that. And again, we don't see it all the time, but we catch glimpses of it. Even as we gather, we get to see some of this, right? We see the Spirit at work. We have seen forgiveness extended to us, both by God and by one another. We've seen what it's like to have a family. We see God mend broken things. We see Him provide for people's needs. We see Him break people's chains, right? We see Him breaking down systems of injustice. And He does it day by day. And so our job as witnesses is not necessarily to make that stuff happen, but to just help people see that that stuff is happening. You know, if I had just gone out on this boat, the scuba instructor could have hung out with me on top, and she could have told me all about the signs that you might see in order to tell that there's a stingray that is lurking under the sand. And she could have told me what a starfish feels like. She could have described all kinds of different fish to me. But honestly, I could have done that by myself. I could have was like Google, right? It's just like, hey, what's a starfish feel like? I mean, I don't know how good of a description you're going to get, but I could have gotten an idea, right? What I needed in order to really grasp how amazing it was down there was I needed to see it myself, and she made that possible. Not only taking me down with her, but also pointing out all kinds of things as we're down there. This is what it looks like to be a witness. We're just taking people along to see the things that the Lord is doing. So, what does this look like in action? We're going to look at a story here in Acts 28, and I think that we'll get a sense of how the Spirit uses us as witnesses, and hopefully kind of have some specific steps we can take. So, to set the scene a little bit, Paul has been arrested by the Jews for preaching the gospel, and he feels like he's not getting a fair trial, and so he appeals to Caesar. And so he has to go to Rome to present his case before Caesar, and Caesar will decide his fate. So they load him up on a ship, and he has two other believers with him. He has Luke, who wrote Acts, and Luke, and he has Aristarchus. And they get on the boat, and they're on their way to Rome, and the ship wrecks. And there's this bad storm, and they get kind of stranded on this island of Malta. And so that's where we're going to kind of pick up this story in Acts 28, verse 7. It says, "Now in the neighborhood of that place were lands belonging to the chief man of the island, named Publius, who received and entertained us hospitably for 3 days." So they get to the island. Paul's actually bitten by a snake, right, as soon as he gets on the island, but we don't even talk about that. It's fine. He gets bitten by a snake. They get to the island, and then they're trying to figure out what are we going to do for the winter. They're going to have to stay in Malta for the winter, and so the Roman governor is a man named Publius, and he has them come to his house and stay there with him. And it seems like they're kind of just hanging out for 3 days. They're just there. They're sharing meals. They're just kind of being with Publius and in with the people in his household, just kind of hanging out. We don't really have a sense that there's any sort of like expectation that there's going to be some ministry happen here, or there's going to be the Spirit's going to move in a crazy way, but they're just kind of there. They're present. And for us, that is the absolute foundation for what it looks like to be witnesses, for what it looks like for the Spirit to use us as witnesses to God's inbreaking kingdom. We have to be present. Being a witness means being present. Being a witness means being present with people around us you can't see below the surface. You can't see what God is doing in our world. And so being present means just being with people. I mean, frankly, it's as simple as that. Like hanging out, sharing life, sharing meals, inviting people to join in with the things you're doing, going and being a part of the things that they're into. Just being there, okay? That's the absolute root, and we see the believers doing that here, building those relationships. We'll keep going in verse 8. It says, "It happened that the father of Publius lay sick with fever and dysentery, and Paul visited him and prayed, and putting his hands on him, healed him. And when this had taken place, the rest of the people on the island who had diseases also came and were cured." So they're hanging out with Publius, and they're just kind of there. They're being present, right? And then they hear about, oh, there's a need here. His father is sick. And it's like a light bulb goes off for them. They say, oh, the Spirit is bringing this to our attention. It's not a coincidence. There's opportunity for witnessing here. There's opportunity for them to see God's power at work. And so they take a step. And they don't know how it's going to go. They don't know if they pray for this guy, if he's actually going to be healed. But and just like we don't know anytime we take a step like this of faith, we don't know how it's going to go, but they take the step and they just see. Even just praying for this guy speaks to a power that goes beyond what they would have known, right? They're, even that is witnessing, but he's healed. And I think in terms of what this means for us of being witnesses, being used by the Spirit as witnesses to God's kingdom, is that we have to be attentive to what the Spirit is doing in and around us. We have to be looking. This is the sense that you get from this passage, that they're just hanging out, but as they're being present in this house, they're just looking around. What are you going to do? Spirit, we know you're moving. You're always moving. What are you going to do? And then they see this thing. There's a need that comes up where the Spirit might move. The Spirit might show himself more fully, right? And this is what it looks like for us. We have to be attentive to the Spirit, constantly looking for what he's going to do. Holding on to the fact that he is constantly moving, that he is bringing his shalom more fully into our world. And so that, you know, looking for those things he might do, what would clue us in to the Spirit might be doing something? There's a lot more we could say about this, but I'm just going to give you a couple ideas. When we see needs, That might be, there's an opportunity. When we see, when we hear people describing things that they long for, things that they're really wrestling with, things that they're frustrated with, these are moments. This is evidence of the Spirit's movement around us. So how exactly do we help people see that the Spirit is moving around them? How do we help people see practically, what does that look like? I'm going to give you guys three kind of basic practices here. And this is by no means a comprehensive list, but when we're talking about trying to help people see this, it's not the most straightforward thing to do. To some degree, you just got to get out there and try some stuff. But just to kind of get us started, I'm going to give us three basic practices. And then my hope is that I'm going to give you a bunch of examples of how that plays out. And the point is not for you to grab onto every example. Don't feel overwhelmed by it. But because this is kind of a difficult thing to grasp, I'm just going to throw out as many examples as I can and help us try and conceptualize it as best we can. So three practices. First one, meet a need. Meet a need. Pretty straightforward, right? This is what we see the believers doing here. Looking, as they're present, looking for the needs that might be around them. And so maybe this might look like for you, you have a friend that just needs someone who will listen to them, needs someone to vent to. Maybe it's something as simple as giving rides around town or helping with homework. Maybe it's sharing a meal. Maybe it's being a friend to someone who's having a hard time connecting with people. Maybe it's asking a friend who's sick, just like we see in this passage, can I pray for you? David has a really cool story about asking someone if he could pray for them because they were sick, I think, and the way that the Spirit moved. We're looking for these things, right? We're looking for these needs, and then we just do something about it because God meets our needs, right? He meets the things that are in us. That's the way life is in God's kingdom. Secondly, embodying God's reign. Embody God's reign. It's just like demonstrate what it's like, what life is like in God's kingdom. Let people see that lived out. Maybe that means inviting people to come around to hang out with your NLCF family, kind of embodying that family of God. That's good news for people. Maybe it means extending forgiveness to people or letting people see you extend that forgiveness. Maybe it means letting people see your process of trying to find a job that's not based on the criteria of how much money you'll make or how much prestige is in this given job, but where the Lord can best use you. Right? These are things of embodying. Maybe it's modeling contentment. Right, we live in a world where it's always what's next. I've got to find the next thing and I've got to have more and I just got to keep going because I can't ever feel satisfied. But obviously the Lord meets our longings. He satisfies us. And so we're able to live in this contented state. And so we just let people see that, right? Think about, as you're present with people, what are those things? What are the things that people are longing for? What are you hearing them express frustration about? What are they trying to grapple with? And then think about, how would I live in such a way that would demonstrate that in God's kingdom, things are different? In God's kingdom, there is shalom. And then third, tell a story. Tell a story. Everybody's been joking that I can't like go a whole sermon without saying something about telling a story, so I'm just going to lean into it. Like, tell a story, people. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, tell a story. Like, I think that we just want to share the things that we've seen God do in us, or we've, you know, seen God do in other people, right? And so maybe this is telling people about the chains that the Spirit has released you from, or maybe is still in the process of releasing you from. Maybe it's sharing about a time where you forgave someone. It was really difficult. Maybe it's talking about redemption that you've seen in your broken family, right? Maybe it's looking at a story of God using you to stand with the oppressed. Maybe it's a story of God providing or making a way out. Think about what God has, what you've seen him do, what you've experienced of him, and how that might speak into those longings, into those wrestlings with the people that we see around us. So I know that this is sort of, it's hard to be as specific as we'd like to be with this, but let's just try some of these things out and see what the Spirit is doing. That attentiveness and the willingness to try and help people see what God is doing is so crucial to being witnesses. The last thing I want to pull out of this passage is the fact that this is not something that Paul does alone. Paul doesn't just go in there and kind of say, all right, I'm here, I'm about to do some witnessing, right? He takes some people with him. Yes, Paul's the one who lays his hands on the father and asks God to heal him, but they're right there with him. Luke and Aristarchus are right there with him. They're also being present in Publius' house with him. They're watching for the Spirit. And then when word gets out of what's happened with the Father, they're also a part of laying hands on people. There's no way they could have had the entire island be healed if it wasn't for more than one person being a part of this. Witnessing happens together. It has to. There's so many reasons. For one, the way that we do life together in the family of God, that in and of itself speaks to God's kingdom. It demonstrates God's kingdom. Oh, those people are doing things kind of differently. Why would they do it like that, right? But also, each of us is gifted differently. And that means that each of us sees different parts of the Spirit's movement more clearly than others, right? We see different parts of God's kingdom more clearly. We're just more tuned into it. And that's a great thing. That means that as we're together, as we are doing this whole thing together, we're able to give people a fuller picture. We're able to be more in tune with all the things that the Spirit is doing around us. Also, because we're gifted differently, we're going to do the witnessing differently. We're going to make this visible in different ways. And these gifts are something we're going to be talking about a little bit more fully next week. But we do this together. Witnessing happens together. So our commission is to be witnesses to God's reign here on earth. This work that he's doing as he's in the process of restoring shalom to every single part of the world. One day, that will be complete, right? And now we get to just help people see that. We get to help people see, and we know that at times we don't do this perfectly. We don't even see it ourselves perfectly, but we're helping others see what God is doing. And so this week, ask yourself, am I being present with people who can't see below the surface? Am I being present with people who don't know the Lord? That's the place to start, right? And then as we're there, we're just looking. Just keeping our eyes peeled for what the Spirit might do. What are those needs? What are those longings? What are they wrestling with? And what might the Spirit, what might we do to help them see how God speaks into that, right? God is moving. And he's the one that does the heavy lifting. We can't make any of this happen, but we get to be a part of it. We get to be the lens through which people see what God is doing. So let me pray for us, and then we're going to look at this banner right here. Actually, take a good look at this banner right here, because we're going to talk about it in just a second, and it's going to be moved by the time we're done praying. So take it in. It's right there. Okay, so Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you for the chance for us to gather. And Holy Spirit, we want to see your reign come fully to our world. I mean, I think that's obvious, but we just confess it. We praise you that you are in the process of doing all of this. Spirit, we are not always sure what it looks like to be witnesses. And it is kind of a really not straightforward process. But we pray that as we're present, as we're watching for what you're doing, we pray that you would tune us in and that you would use us to help people see your reign coming more fully into our world. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.